those who worship the Lord, worship in spirit and truth. Those who say that they know Him must walk as He walked. Those who worship the Lord, worship in spirit and truth. Those who say that they know Him must walk as He walked. He is the way and the truth, and in Him is the life. If we obey His word, then we walk in the light. He is the way and the truth, and in Him is the light. If we obey His word, then we walk in the light. We don't keep His word, then we walk in the darkness, and the truth's not in us. If we walk in the light, we will have fellowship sweet, and the blood of Jesus will cleanse us from sin. He is the way and Him is the life. If we obey His word, then we walk in the light. He is the way and the truth, and in Him is the life. If we obey His word, then we walk in the light. Walk in the light. He is the way and the truth, and in Him is the life. If we obey His word, then we walk in the light. Well, good morning, friends. Good to be with you this morning. I got to get my song turned off here. There we go. Good to be with you this morning on this nice snowy morning here in Maine. Fran, did you look out your window? Huh? Did you? You probably did. You're always looking out the window at that wonderful sunrise that you have out over the bay down there. But I haven't poked a stick out to see how many inches, but there are several inches of snow out there today. And for those of you that live in other places, you might be submerged in Lancaster County. I'm trying to remember where I saw a picture of flooding. Was it in Lancaster? I saw pictures of flooding, maybe raining down in Rhode Island. Steve and Priscilla are floating around in an ocean somewhere, and so we're grateful for them. They're over in Asia, in that part of the world. I can tell you that much. And who knows what their weather's like on board the ship, but it doesn't matter when you're on a ship. Walter says that they're swimming down there in Lancaster. I think I saw someone post something of a spot that was flooded down there, but I don't remember where it was. All kinds of interesting rain. Now, some people would like to make a bunch out of this rain and say, you know, we have this strange rain and the strange weather and the strange snow, and is it a sign of the times? Well, certainly Jesus would say that we need to be looking at the signs and considering the signs and thinking about, you know, the nearness of the Lord's coming, the imminence of the Lord's coming, that He could come at any time.
and to be prepared. But I'm not prepared to make a statement that because we have snow on April 4th in Maine and a snowstorm, a nor'easter, that that necessarily it says anything. Although it does seem like the weather patterns are changing. Last summer we were in Big Sur, California, and enjoyed the coast of the Pacific Ocean. And part of that highway collapsed here with the bad weather they've had out there. Could it be? All I know is the Lord said, be ready, be watching, be working, be prepared, because he can come at any time. We need to be ready. Well, and that's something we need to tell people as well. That's the thing that brought me to faith in Christ in many ways. My best friend, Mark Always, trusted in Christ. His whole family trusted in Christ. And we were on July 15th, 14th, 13th, July 13th at the campus of Penn State University. And Mark was sharing with me that he had learned that, you know, we need to be ready because the Lord can come back at any time. And those that don't know him, and at that point, his theology was very much undeveloped. But the Lord can come back at any point in time, and we need to be ready for when that happens. Because if not, then you go to hell. I mean, that was kind of his words to me. If you're not ready, then you go to hell. And we certainly, I didn't want that. So, but yet, I still wasn't ready to trust Christ until 5 days later. But that was his message. That was the thing that amped him up to want to share Christ with me, is the fact that Christ could appear at any time, and that those that aren't taken, aren't raptured up, will be left here, left behind. Or I think his theology at that point was, you know, you'll suffer the eternal consequences of hell. You don't want that. You want to be with the Lord, don't you, Jim? And that motivated him to share Christ with me. Well, what about you? What motivates you to share Christ with other people? Are there motivating factors in your life that would cause you to share Christ with other people? That for Mark in that day, that was way back in 1980, that was the thing that motivated him. Something that I needed to know, as I wasn't even a disciple yet. I wasn't a follower of Christ yet. I wasn't a Christian yet. And yet, nonetheless, the reality of the matter was I needed to know Christ. You have loved ones. You have friends. There are people in your life that need to know Christ. And so, you know, I just, may that be a motivating factor, that apart from Christ, you perish for all eternity. You're separated from God for all eternity. You know, and you think about to be separated from God. What does that mean? To be separated from God isn't to be separated from some religiosity. To be separated from God isn't to be separated from, you know, goody two shoesness. That's a word now, goody two shoesness, because that's what some people think of Christianity. To be separated from God is to be separated for all eternity from all that is good. That is what it means to be separated from God for all eternity. And so anything that you think of, anything is merciful. Or yesterday's word of the day that Walter gave us yesterday. Somebody going to give us a word of the day today. Maybe I'm already on that word for today already. But compassion, to be separate from God for all eternity, be separate from any form of compassion whatsoever. Anything that you enjoy, to be separated from God for all eternity is to be separated from all things pleasurable. Some people say, well, I'll just die and go to hell and be with my friends and we'll party and drink beer and chase women and smoke cigarettes and play pool and yada, 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 yada. Hell will not be like that. It will not be. It will be a place of eternal separation from all the goodness of the character of God. In fact, I heard a message a few weeks ago when we hosted Dr. Stephen Whitmer, who talked about the fact of the matter is that God himself may not be absent completely, or the sense of God may not be separated from a person for all eternity, because something that will last in eternity with people who do not know Christ is the wrath of God continues on a person for all eternity. And that just kind of blew my mind to think about the fact that God being there for all eternity, in the sense of his wrath, but being separated from all that is good in God, the compassion that we talked about, God. Yeah, Walter says this, some people make an eternity out of nothing, and they do. They go on and on and on about nothing, but yet they make nothing of eternity. And that's a good little word there, Walter. That is a quotable quote that you could post right to Facebook, my friend. Make it your quote, because it's true. Now, maybe somebody else has said it, I don't know, but it is certainly a reality. Some people make an eternity out of nothing and nothing of eternity. Yeah, we need to make much of eternity. Now, we're talking about the theme is, what does a new Christian need to know? Now, we're not talking about what does somebody that isn't a Christian need to know. We're talking about what does somebody that isn't a Christian need to know if they are going, we're talking about what somebody who is a Christian needs to know if they're going to thrive as a follower of Christ. And so we started talking yesterday about the character of God. We talked about the compassion of God yesterday. We talked about for us ourselves to have a full knowledge of God's character. In fact, we can never have a full knowledge of God's character, because God is beyond comprehension, in the sense of we can never totally, fully know all there is to know about him, because he is immense, he is vast, he is transcendent, he is beyond. And so we can never fully know the character of God. But what do we know of the character of God? What do we know of the character of God in creation? I always go to creation. That's my starting point. And that's something you'd want to help a young Christian think about. What do you know of Christ in creation? What has God revealed? God has revealed an incredible sense of creativity. When you consider all the flowers, you consider all the various flora and fauna that is out there. You consider the variety of trees. Some places they don't have many trees. You consider all the different types of animals. You consider the changes of the weather. You can consider that they say, now I don't know if this is verifiably true, because who could have ever studied all the snowflakes, but they say every snowflake is unique, different than all the others. Perhaps that is true in some measure, some way. I don't know, but even if they're a million times different, that's incredible. Right now, to hear the wind blowing outside, incredible, absolutely incredible. To see the snow falling outside, incredible. To go see a sunrise or a sunset at the ocean, incredible. To see grand mountains, incredible. So creation itself reveals our human body. The fact that there are 11 different systems that all must mesh together to function within the human body. Incredible. So we learn about the creativity of God, and in the creativity of God, we point to the power of God, that God had the power to make all these things. All of creation, to place all the stars in the sky, to hold them all in their place. And this is something, again, we'd want a young believer to be convinced of, are these truths about God, the knowledge and wisdom of God, that we think of the knowledge that we have as we study the created things. Now, some of this world would never call them created things, because they don't want to give way to the thought of someone beyond man. They don't want to give credence to God, because if there's a God, then we're accountable. So they'd never call it creation. But to think of the sheer knowledge that's involved in the complexity of even a small insect, or to think of the knowledge it took to fashion the variety of aspects within an atom. And, you know, we now have the science, the ability to study down to the makeup of atoms. God's knowledge, and how God then put all those varying atomic compounds together to form things like water and air and everything that is made of chemical compound. The knowledge that is within that is just staggering, to think about how absolutely incredible it is that God possesses that knowledge, or the wisdom to make it all fit together as God has made it fit together. That we would help young disciples learn that type of the awe of God. So today we talk about, I guess we're talking about God's omnipotence and God's omniscience, those two words. And they don't necessarily have to know the words. It doesn't hurt to inform them of those words. But they do need to know about the power of God. They do need to know about the knowledge and the wisdom of God. Those are things that we want young believers to understand, just how powerful God is in places in our world today. And I was having this conversation with somebody just the other day. In places in our world today, God is doing phenomenally miraculous acts to substantiate and to validate just exactly who he is. There are places where there are vastly different religions, Hinduism, Buddhism, particularly those two I'm thinking of this morning. Islam believes in Allah. They believe in God in that sense. He's not the same God. Some would say, well, Allah, the God of Abraham, the same. Well, they would say he's the same, but I would say no. The Bible reveals a much different God than that of Islam. But they would believe in the power of God. But all these different things to point out to people the vast wisdom and the power of God. I'm talking about the power of God, the omnipotence of God, the power of God, that even as Jesus walked the earth, all the miraculous things that he did, I mean, there were two reasons. Yes, he was caring for people, but he didn't heal everybody. He didn't meet every single want and need. But what he did do is miraculous works that substantiated his message that people would believe in him. God is the God of power. God is the God. We're told this. Let me take us over into Scripture. Let me take us over here into the book of Colossians. Get a little Scripture worked in here. The first chapter of the book of Colossians. Down at verse 15 and following. Let's take a look at what this says. Now, before I go there, I want to comment just a moment, because I see something that Walter has posted. After studying anatomy and physiology, I find it hard to believe there could be an unbelieving doctor or anyone involved in healthcare. Yeah, and I'm with you. I'm at the same point. How could somebody believe anything different than the truth of Scripture that we have in front of us? So hard to believe that anybody would think anything differently. And yet the delusion is there. The delusion continues. Let's look at this passage. It says, he is the image, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created. And friends, this is a passage you take a young believer to. that they would know this about Jesus. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, think atoms, or even things that you can't see, like the wind, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Just take those three verses right there. He is before all things. He existed before. So we get into the existence of God, the self-existent nature of God. And how he existed before all things, because he says before all things. He's the firstborn of all creation. He is the image of the invisible God. You want to know God, you know Jesus. By him all things are created, things in heaven, on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones, powers, rulers, authorities, all things are created by him and for him. We are made for the pleasure of God. What God has made in creation, he has made for his own pleasure. We are created to know God. We are created to enjoy God. And then it says he is before all things. Verse 17, verse 15. Verse 15, the firstborn. Verse 17, before all things. And it says, in him all things hold together. If it weren't for God, all the atoms would be flying apart. If it weren't for God, our human bodies would be flying apart. If it weren't for God holding things together, the oceans would be laying on the land. If it weren't for God holding all things together, the stars and the planets would all be, and the moons would all be colliding into each other. That is truth. This is God's truth for us to hold on to. God's truth for us to teach other people, that they would understand these wonderful, wonderful truths about God, his power. To speak of his power, you go back to the book of Genesis, the very first book in the Bible. It speaks about the power of God when it talks about him making all things. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. No, it wasn't a big bang. It wasn't something else that happened. But in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Here, friends, is another indicator of the Trinity. God, the Spirit of God. And then down in verse 26, it will say, let us make man in our image. Some people who want to reject the Trinity, I can show you the Trinity right from the book of Genesis here. And other places where we see the revelation about Jesus, particularly in Genesis 3:15. So there's all kinds of truth about God. It is abundant. It is vast. It is all over the place. Genesis 1, you know, God made the light. God made the night. God made the day. God made the land. God made the oceans. God made the sky. God made the vegetation. I'm getting down to verse 11. God made the vegetation. God said, let us produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants, trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it according to various kinds. And it was so. And the land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing seed with fruit with seed in according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. God put the lights in the sky, the stars. It says, let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night. And the lights perhaps being the sun, the moon, the stars, let them serve as signs to mark seasons and days and years. And let them be lights in the expanse of the sky to give light to the earth. And it was so. He made the two great lights, the the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars, all these things. Speaking of which, at least here in place in the United States, this great eclipse taking place next Monday, be something to see. Down at verse 20. At the bottom of the page, God said, let the water teem with living creatures and let birds fly above the earth across the sky. And God created the great creatures of the sea and every living thing, every living and moving thing with which the water teems according to their kinds and every winged bird according to its kind. And God said it was good. Verse 24, God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, livestock, creatures that move along the ground, wild animals, each according to its kind. And it was so. And verse 25, God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to its kinds. God made all these things. And then in verse 26, his crowning achievement, then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the livestock, over all the earth, over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him male and female. God's crowning achievement, made in the image of God, mankind. What's all this about? This is all about. This is all about God's power. It is all about God's knowledge and wisdom. We're talking about the character of God. These are things you want a young disciple to learn about God, to be absolutely convinced, to have Genesis 1 emblazoned into their soul, to believe in the power of God because of all the things that God has made. Colossians chapter 1, where we're looking at verses 15, 16, and 17, to see the power of God in creating and sustaining all things, holding them all in their place, the wisdom, the knowledge, the ability of God. It's absolutely incredible to think about, to participate in. These are things you share with young disciples. We talk to them about the compassion of God. Part of the compassion, I could have kept on that theme. We'll maybe come back to that theme tomorrow, the compassion of God that brings to us reconciliation with God, the compassion of God that brings to us his forgiveness, his mercy, his grace, all these things found in the compassion of God, to know that your sins are forgiven, to know that you're cleansed. I'm getting into tomorrow's discussion already. For those of you that have no power out there, that have enough power to watch on your cell phone, bless you for watching on your cell phone. I just want to give this reminder that my particular ministry is not a ministry of benevolent means. I'm not a wealthy person. And the focus of my particular ministry is networking people to other ministries that do those things, that have those means. We have partnerships with people in over 100 countries. And please let me try to connect friends with partners in countries that know more specifically your needs, know systems, know structures, how to meet those varying needs. I just need to say that. I've got to take the pressure off myself. I've had health issues of late because I have been concerned about friends. Now, any of my listeners, if you want to find ways to partner with and help listeners that have needs, please do so. I don't discourage that. Friends that listen from anywhere, from South America to Africa, over into Asia, India, in those places, please let me connect you with partners that we have in those places. I just met with partners in India yesterday. We were talking about Nepal, India, Pakistan, those areas. We have partners that we have face-to-face relationship with, that we trust, that we rely on, that God is using to do great ministries, that we that we sit face to face with, that we have, we've been to their places. For instance, I'll be in Siliguri, in India, in October, meeting with partners that we have there. Please let us connect you with partners there. The nature of this particular ministry is not one of heavy financial support for others. We just don't have the means to be able to do that. And let us try to connect you with others who do have those means. And my heart breaks. I wish we could do more. I've asked the Lord oftentimes, Lord, give me more wealth. The Lord has saw fit to give us just enough means, just enough, to take care of our own needs here, and not much beyond that. And if the Lord would bless in other ways, then we would be glad to help. I'm saying that because I see the requests and I know the needs that are there. And I'm just telling you what I don't have the capacity to do, or what I do have the capacity to do. So let me close us out in prayer. Lord, we do pray. We do pray for the needs. There's the need monthly support for children and for Santhus. They need food, clothes, other needs, and we do pray for them. And Lord, we do think on a regular basis of our friends in these places, that we have cabinets and refrigerators with food, and every day there's nothing on their counter, nothing in their cabinets, and they need your provision. Lord, would you please provide provision for them and get them connected with people who can meet those very direct needs of theirs that they have. So, Father, we lift up Santhus. Meet his needs today. May he see you meet his needs today. The needs that Zara has, meet their needs as well, Lord. We look to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, hear our prayers. Have a safe day, everyone.